Recording live from the Hoban Law Group here in Denver, Colorado, I'm your host, Eric Singular. We're sitting alongside president and founder of the Hoban Law Group, Bob Hoban. Today we're talking about weathering the COVID storm, the essentials for cannabis success, and we are joined by the COO of Spherex, Dan Gardenschwartz. Dan, thank you for being here with us this evening.
Hi guys, thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. And before we get into the heart of this conversation, I want to touch on this, which I'm a Colorado native. It's my understanding that you are a Colorado native, but you went on a journey prior to returning to the great Centennial State, where you then began really working in this cannabis industry. And so give us a little bit about the journey you've taken to come back to Colorado and get involved over at Spherex.
Absolutely. Well, I would be happy to. So I got into the industry via a journey, as you said. I come from a finance background, so I come to this industry by way of Wall Street. I spent 25 plus years in mergers and acquisitions and private equity and raising capital for all types of businesses, but really honing in on consumer products companies and branded consumer products companies more specifically. And over the course of my career, completed almost $10 billion from transactions involving consumer or consumer-oriented companies, and just really love working with consumer-facing businesses, particularly if they have a very strong brand. Understand the dynamics of consumer-based businesses, the ups and downs of dealing with retailers and all sorts of challenges that consumer-facing businesses face, and have had a lot of success over time in successfully working with these companies, creating a lot of value, working with entrepreneurs, learning about different businesses and how they operate, learning about different management teams and management styles. So it's been invaluable experience in my career, and then really just finding an opportunity in Spherex to invest in and build a premier company in the cannabis space using all of my collective experience in the consumer and finance areas. And it's been really exciting over the last couple of years since we essentially invested in the company and really strive to take it to the next level. And so it's been a tremendous experience. And, you know, I think the skills and expertise and experience that I've brought to the table have been very helpful. And I've learned a lot from my partners, both on the cannabis side and on the operating side. And it's just been, you know, kind of top to bottom, left to right, an incredible experience. And notwithstanding the fact that this COVID situation has thrown the entire world for a loop, but, you know, I'm happy to report that we've done a lot of things at Spherex to actually thrive through this period. So very proud of that as well.
So at Spherex, you produce concentrates and distillates. What are some of the more in demand? And before I get there, are you purely on the ingredient and the wholesale side, or do you produce retail products?
So the answer is yes. We actually... we have a suite of products that we have developed, and they fall into the vaping category. So we make vape cartridges. They fall into the dabbing category. We make what we call dablicators, which are little syringes that hold distillate that folks can use, and other delivery systems. And we've also recently entered into the edibles world with the launch of our beverage, which is called Fix. So we have developed all of these products and sell them into the retail channel. Tremendous relationships with hundreds of retailers across Colorado. And so we're very excited by those relationships and the experience we've had dealing with the retailers here in Colorado. We also, given the nature of our business, the fact that we have a very strong technology background, have very strong manufacturing capabilities, consistently generate very high quality, very clean, very high potency distillates and products. And so we're actually approached by a lot of different brands, brands that people would recognize, brands that you see very prominently displayed on the retail shelves. They come to us for our distillate. So it's almost like an Intel inside strategy where, you know, we have all these brands that are essentially powered by Spherex, which is cool. That's so, you know, we have a broad array of things that we can do for customers, both at retail and at wholesale. So it's pretty cool position.
It's an excellent position, and that sounds like an excellent strategy. And it reminds me of a call I had today with a client that I'm assisting with their business development and sales division build out and structuring. And the outside consultant question today was, what do you think the biggest challenge for the development of a sales staff would be? What are they going to experience directly? And I will pose that question to you, but my thinking was along the lines of the regulatory, not just uncertainty, but the regulatory chaos when you really bounce around the globe and you realize sure. that these regulations are quite literally all over the map, which in turn does exactly what? It limits the ability to distribute products. It also sure. limits the kinds of participants because when there's that regulatory uncertainty or at least lack of uniformity, it tends to keep some of the larger players on the sidelines. So sure. How would you answer that question from your consultant? If your consultant said, to help you do this, I need to understand what your biggest challenge for developing sales and sales distribution channels would be.
Well, that's a great question. And, you know, I think to your point on the regulations and the regulatory framework of our industry, you know, not only is it dynamic in Colorado, you know, and we're faced with those challenges where they make, you know, a little tweak to packaging and all of a sudden we've got, you know, tens of thousands of obsolete packages or labels or whatever. And so that's a constant struggle when they, you know, when they come out with a new reg on 12/31 and you're supposed to implement it on 1/1. So, you know, that's always a challenge, but that's something that we, you know, we've spent a lot of money and have crackerjack people on our compliance team, both inside the company and outside the company. And so, you know, we do a really good job of staying up to speed on what we can and can't do, what the requirements are for our packaging and the like. And we do that not only in Colorado, but in our other jurisdictions, which are primarily at this point, California and Oklahoma. But we're also launching in Canada in September, which is an entirely different regulatory framework. And so, you know, we spend a lot of time and effort thinking about compliance and spend the money where we need to in order to stay at the cutting edge of all of the regulatory issues facing our industry across the country and now internationally. In terms of the sales challenges, you know, it sounds simple, but it's a combination of people. So having the right people in the field from the top down, from our head of sales all the way down to, you know, the staff that we have doing promos at retail. And so we have to have the best people, the right people in the jobs. We have to make sure that those people are knowledgeable, and we have to make sure that those people are able to properly convey the Spherex value proposition to the retailers. And in a market like Colorado, it's much tougher because there's more competition. In Oklahoma, we were sort of on the leading edge of brands moving into that market, and so we have a much different sales experience in Oklahoma. But it's, you know, it's really being able to adapt at the drop of a hat to different things that are going on in the market, regulatory, competitive, et cetera. And, you know, and the foundation for that is people. It's having the right people. It's having people that are focused, engaged, and giving their all the time. And we've been very lucky to have attracted and have in the field just a tremendous sales and marketing organization. So, yeah, long answer to a short question, But, you know, it's regulatory is definitely a big factor. And we spend the money and expend the resources that we need to stay at the forefront. But beyond that, it really just boils down to having the right people. And so, you know, human resources is a big area where we're always focused and making sure our team is the best team, making sure we're staffed up in the right areas and able to meet the demands of our customers. And, you know, as the market evolves, the customer demands evolve. They want things faster. They want things in a particular way. They want customized branding. You know, there's all manner of things that we're asked to do out there, and we just need to be agile. And you know, like I said, it all boils down to the right people focused on it 24/7.
And you know, at least pre-COVID, we talked about some of the lowest unemployment rates that we've seen in this country in quite some time, certainly in the states in which you're operating, Colorado mm-hmm. being one of those. It's counterintuitive in part, but when you have low numbers of unemployment, it's extraordinarily difficult to address the challenge that you just pointed out, and that's your personnel
sure.
and your people.
Sure.
Well, you know, Dan, when you're talking about the regulatory compliance piece and a new labeling or packaging requirement coming out that you then have to implement in a week and you have to get rid of all your packaging, it brings up this idea of being able to adapt quickly. Is it absolutely essential piece for any can of business? And you mentioned that despite all of these crazy COVID uncertain times that we're in, you and SphereX have been able to thrive. You've been able to weather this storm. And give us a sense, if you would, over the last, it's hard to even put a time frame on it because I don't know how long we've been in quarantine or when it started. Or
sure.
Over the last 5 months or so, what did you guys do? How did your business plan change, or how did you adapt when this really started to become real? What were the steps you took as a COO and at SphereX to weather this storm?
Great. Another great question. And you know, it kind of goes back to what I was saying about people, because, you know, at our company, if we don't have the right people, or our people don't feel safe, or people, you know, feel compromised in any way, then products aren't getting made and distributed and deliveries made and money collected. You know, that's what makes the world go round in this industry and across industries. And so the first thing that we did when we, you know, were starting to go into this quarantine process, you recall in Colorado, there was like a 6-hour period where it was unclear whether we were going to be considered an essential business or not. And so there was a lot of consternation after the mayor gave his first little talk where they said it's not an essential business. And so we kind of went into battle stations at that point. But luckily that was reversed very quickly. So we didn't have to sleep on it even for a night. But once, you know, we kind of understood what the lay of the land was, the first thing that we did was call an all hands meeting. And at that meeting, the primary focus of that meeting was to convey to our people that they come first, that, you know, our business is an essential business, that we have the opportunity in this crazy time to operate and to, you know, continue to build, or at a minimum maintain, you know, our market position. But it all boils down to making sure that our employees feel good about it. So we made a commitment to our employees at the first second that this went down, that they were not going to have an impact to their pocketbooks at all. And that was a big commitment to our employees. You know, we basically said, look, we're going to do two things. We're going to do things in the company to create a very safe environment. And that is implementing all of the CDC protocols or suggestions, whatever you want to call them. Those became the gospel for us. So nobody walks into this facility without a mask on. Nobody starts working without a temperature check. No one goes more than, you know, 30 to 60 minutes without a hand wash or a hand sanitizer or whatever. You know, anything that we can do to make our employees feel safe, and, you know, and hence then be productive, we did. and we have been doing, and that will continue to be our driving philosophy, because, you know, those are our most important assets. It sounds cliche, but it's really, really true, especially in a manufacturing business. And so the first thing we wanted to do was make sure that our company was, you know, calm, focused, and ready to kind of navigate through this weird period. But the underlying commitment was, we don't want our employees to be impacted in any way when they're working here, whether it's financial, whether it's safety-wise, et cetera. So that was the driving force between kind of our initial response. And then beyond that, you know, we made a concerted effort to communicate with all of our customers, what do you guys need? You know, what can we do to service your business as you guys operate through this uncertainty? Because obviously it's not just impacting us, it's impacting the retailers and it's impacting the consumers. And so, you know, we made a concerted effort to communicate with all of our customers, both large and small, to figure out what they needed from us in order to operate. And that ranged from, you know, timely deliveries or modified delivery schedules to terms for some companies, you know, and giving people some more payment flexibility, giving people ordering flexibility. And so we really listened to what our customers had to say and tried to adapt our practices to match that. And we did a similar thing with the consumers. You know, we did a lot of outreach to end consumers to find out what is important to them. You know, what products are they using during this time? Where should we be focusing our finite resources, our people during this time to make sure that the consumer demands are met? And so, you know, it was a lot of outreach. It was a lot of just dealing with people, asking questions, not just kind of pulling blinders on and trying to pretend like it's business as usual. We wanted to, you know, come as close to business as usual as possible, but that required a lot of outreach to customers, a lot of discussions, tough decisions, you know, doing things that we wouldn't normally do in order to help our customers. And, you know, we just took a very proactive approach, guys. It was, you know, it's been all hands on deck for the last 5 or 6 months.
Well, your dedication to people, both your employees and your customers, is illustrative of the fact that your company has a wonderful ethos and certainly great leadership, which is not, which frankly is rarely the case in this industry. But at the end of the day, it's also probably the key to your success. Now, as we, we look at how COVID has impacted things, we've seen companies producing products, whether they were, hemp-derived derivatives, marijuana derivatives. These things were in the marketplace in the early COVID days, so to speak, companies were making claims and representations based on what we know about the plant, that it has anti-inflammatory properties and some other things, some more, boost your immune system, so forth and so on. And we've come a long way since those early days when there was actually law enforcement at the state and federal level that acted to make sure that those things didn't happen. And now here we are 5 months or so later, and we know that those claims are absolutely true. In fact, Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi got into a Twitter war over this topic the other day because the Dems tried to put a piece of the SAFE banking bill into the relief round two for coronavirus. And when asked why, she says, well, cannabis has proven to be a reliable therapeutic or something along those lines for COVID, to which McConnell throws his hands in the air and says, you got to be kidding me, Nancy. And you can see this happening in real time, but just because it's true doesn't mean you can say it. And you know
that's right.
And you know, maybe you could just comment on that, because certainly it's got to drive you nuts sometime when you see your competitors doing things that give them at least a temporary advantage by making such kind of claims.
Yeah, and it's a very good point. And what I would say on that is, coming out of my background working with, you know, food and beverage companies or companies that make various and sundry supplements or even lotions and potions, personal care stuff, you know, there's a very careful focus on what you can and can't say. And so that's been my experience, and that's the ethos that I brought to the company, is that we cannot make claims that are unsupported by, you know, very firm studies, science, whatever you want to call it, where there's consensus that this is indeed the case. And, you know, we don't need clearance from the FDA or the, you know, whoever to make these types of claims. So, you know, we communicate to our people, particularly the people out in the field, don't make any claims. You know, it doesn't help. It actually could hurt. It actually could hurt very badly. And, you know, quite frankly, some of the companies out here making claims that are inappropriate or a little too aggressive, I think it's going to come back to haunt them over time. And so we're just not going to get into that game. The quality of our product speaks for itself. I don't think anybody can dispute that THC and THC-derived products have an effect. And I think that it's, you know, whether it's anecdotal or a formal study, you know, the reality is, I think you ask anybody who uses THC and they'll tell you there is definitely an effect. What we've tried to communicate is more sort of soft messaging about how these products help people relax. You know, I don't think there's any dispute that THC has a calming effect for many people. This is a very stressful time, and people are looking for ways to ease the burdens of getting through not only quarantine, but just the disruption in life. And that's, by the way, that's not going anywhere. You know, we look at the world like, you know, it's easy to say, oh, before COVID, everything was hunky-dory. But before 9/11, the World Trade Center was there, you know, and now it's not. And now the world has changed in a different way. So in a sense, what happened before COVID is almost irrelevant. It's where we are now and where we see, you know, the future going forward. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with helping people manage through stressful situations and a stressful environment, providing products that provide some relief. You know, you leave it to other people to say, oh yeah, this helped me with my, you know, pain, or this helped me with this and that. We keep it very simple. You know, we have products that are designed to help you relax. The strain in particular that we've developed around that is called Chill, right? So it's inherent in the name of the product what the intended effect is, but we're not making any claims that if you use this product, you will chill out, you know, or your depression will go away. That's not the types of claims that we're making. It's more, what is the desired effect of this product, and how can we communicate that in a way that dovetails nicely with what the regulators tell you can say. And so Chill, focus, relief, you know, those names kind of speak for themselves. We've developed the formulations. We work with, you know, our world-leading terpene provider to fine-tune, you know, the terpene profiles of our products. And so, you know, those temporary advantages that people have making claims, you know, that's fine for them. But like I said before, it usually will come back to haunt them in some way. And so we try to, you know, focus in on things that you can reasonably say that will land well with consumers. And that is really, what is the desired effect? And so that's kind of how we've navigated that situation. I don't know if that totally answers your question, but, you know, we think our products speak for themselves. You know, the fact that we consistently deliver quality products that consistently give consumers the desired effects. We do a lot of education at retail to make sure the bud tenders understand, you know, kind of what our product value proposition is, because the bud tenders are the gateway. You know, it's a very interesting retail model in our industry, unlike any retail model there is out there. You know, you walk into a dispensary and there is a person who is guiding you. And if you know what you're doing and you know what you like, then it's easy. But if you're kind of learning or a relatively new user, you're relying on that bud tender to guide you. more so than, you know, walking into a clothing store and having somebody help you try on stuff. This is very much, these people are trusted advisors to their customers. And so we want to make sure, and we spend time every day doing this, educating the bud tenders. What is the Spherex value proposition? Here's some swag, wear it, you know, anything we can do to get the bud tenders excited about us. It just, you know, translates into sales and growth. And Dan, so go ahead. No, I was just going to say that's where we spend a lot of time. The bud tender education is probably the number one area of, you know, kind of focus on our field team. They're meeting with bud tenders. You know, we do little things like swag. We do lunches. We do all kinds of things. But having those people in our court, I think, you know, personally, and we believe as a company, is much more effective than going out and making, you know, what probably are baseless claims.
Well, what shines so much about everything that you've said is your commitment to ethics. And of course, quality. We know that your products are extremely quality, but that commitment to ethics, that commitment to the people who actually make all of this possible, it has a great effect, a net positive effect, which is you have been able to weather this storm. You're going to have continued success, and it's wonderful to hear you speak on all of these topics. And anybody who is interested can learn more at wearespherex.com. We know that you're also working with PACS and doing a lot of interesting things, which we can dive into when we have you on the next time on the Hope and Me podcast. So Dan, thank you so much. Yeah. You have a wonderful evening, my friend. Take care.
Yeah, you guys too. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Hope and Minute. Do you have any ideas for episode topics or guests? We would like to hear from you. Reach out to us at media@hoban.law and stay tuned for more on the Hope and Minute.